7 to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. 8 to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualic activities which are offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, Karma Kanda. 9 to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. 10 to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachment even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. It is also an offensive to be inattentive while chanting. Every devotee who claims to be Vaishnava must guard against these offenses in order to achieve the desired success, Krishna Prema. Once again, I thank everyone for joining the Bhakti Sangha conference call today. Let us move to our next session, which is Srimad Bhagavatam class. May I know who all have joined the class this morning?
Hare Krishna Vardhanamata Ji, Dandrat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai, Preeti Dasi. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Preeti Mataji, Dandrat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandrat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. This is Arvind Das from Chicago. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Arvind Prabhuji, Dandrat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Vardhana Mataji, Dandrat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. This is Vinita Gandharvika Devidasi from Texas College Station.
Hare Krishna Vinita Gandharvika Mataji, Dandrat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Vardhana Mataji, O Guru Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharajis. My humble obeisances to you and all the devotees. This is Krishna Kumari Devidasi.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Kumari Mataji, Dandrat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vardhana Mataji, Dandrat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Ji, Guru Maharaj, this is Shama Guri Devidasi from Charlotte. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Shyamagauri Mataji, Dandrat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Sri Guru and Gauranga and all the assembled devotees. Yashamati from Chicago.
Hare Krishna Yashamati Mataji, Dandrat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is anybody else would like to introduce themselves?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandrat Pranam, Savitri from Chennai.
Hare Krishna, Savitri Mataji, Dandrat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Shall I start the recording, Mataji? Prabhuji is already there on the call. Hare Krishna, Mataji, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, Mataji.
Yeah, I'll start the recording, Mataji. Prabhuji is there on the call.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Mataji. Welcoming all of to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 18, Verse Number 23-25. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandrat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Welcome back, Prabhuji, after a long time. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your association. I'll hand out the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for giving me this opportunity. So I will just share the screen. Just give me a second. Okay. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminit Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for joining today's session, and also thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to share and speak about Srimad Bhagavatam today. So today we are going to discuss from the sixth canto, 18th chapter, 23rd to 25th verse. This episode talks about Diti wanting to kill Indra because she finds, or she thinks, Indra is responsible for the death of her two sons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, even though they were killed by Varahadev and Narsimhadev, the two expansions of Krishna. But still, she is not exactly a non-devotee, but she feels that the responsibility is on Indra, because it was at Indra's behalf that the Supreme Lord killed Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. That's the episode. We will read the verse. 23rd to 25th. So these three verses we are going to discuss today. Shri Shuka Uvacha Hataputraditi Shakra Parshnigraheena Vishnuna Manyuna Shoka Deeptena Jvalanti Paryachintayat. Shukadev Goswami says, just to help Indra, Lord Vishnu killed the two brothers Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Because of their being killed, their mother Diti, overwhelmed with lamentation and anger, contemplated as follows. Kadhanu bhratra hantaram indriya rama mulbanam aklinna hridayam papam gata yitva shaye sukam. Lord Indra, who is very much fond of sense gratification, has killed the two brothers Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu by means of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Indra is cruel, hard-hearted and sinful. When will I, having killed him, rest with a pacified mind? So she's really feeling, when will I kill Indra and then rest with a pacified mind? Like that. Krimivit bhasmas samgyasit yasyesha bihitasya cha bhutadruk tatkrite swartam kimveda nirayo yataha. When dead, the bodies of all the rulers known as kings and great leaders will be transformed into worms, stool or ashes. So worms, if they are buried, and the worms will eat, or they will transform into worms when they decompose. If they are burnt, they will transform into ashes. And if they are eaten by some animals, then they will be converted into stool. If one enviously kills others for the protection of such a body, because Indra, she thought, had killed her two sons for the protection of his own body, she thinks, does he actually know the true interest of life? Certainly he does not. For if one is envious of other entities, he surely goes to hell. So, and then why does she want to kill Indra? Because anyway, Indra is going to go to hell. And now she is going to repeat the same thing to him. This is quite interesting. So, purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the material body, even if possessed by a great king, is ultimately transformed into stool, worms or ashes. When one is too attached to the bodily conception of life, he is certainly not very intelligent. Short purport. Okay. So, I am not going to go into detail of this story. Most of you know this story, right? How Diti feels Indra being responsible for the death of her two sons, even though the killing was actually accomplished by the Supreme Lord in his form as Varahadev and Narasimhadev. But still, Diti feels Indra responsible. So she wants to kill Indra. And like that. So, actually, what is it? Kashyapa is not very happy with this desire of Diti. And in the next chapter, he will suggest the Payovrata sacrifice with a desire to make Diti give up her inimical attitude towards Indra. So now, often it is misunderstood that if someone has inimical attitude, maybe they should do some Payovrata sacrifice or something like that. No, it is not that, Diti gave up her inimical attitude due to performance of any kind of Payovrata sacrifice. It is just that by the association of Kashyapa, who was very well intentioned, and by his association, she got transformed. So, in one sense, it is, of course, she starts the Payovrata sacrifice because she tells that, oh, if you want to kill Indra, then you please the Supreme Lord by this Payovrata sacrifice. And he designs the sacrifice in such a way that it induces a lot of mode of goodness. But at the same time, that goal of killing Indra is subdued by the favorable association. And by the end of this, she gives up that attitude and she becomes more of, you can say purely inclined. So now, what exactly is this? Often it is mentioned that Diti performed tamasic bhakti. She performed tamasic bhakti. Her bhakti was filled with tamogun. Okay. So now, recently I was discussing this theme. Of course, probably I have discussed it sometime earlier in Bhakti Sangha also. But I thought it's a relevant theme because Diti is directly, tamasic bhakti is generally ascribed to Diti. We will try to understand if it is correct or not. And if correct, why? If not correct, why? We will try to see. For that, we will first have to try to understand the three modes and their influence on bhakti and worship. So, because generally we say that, we talk about the influence of the three modes. So, we should know what the three modes influence actually. What is it that the three modes influence? And what is the effect of such an influence? Because we always think that, we do talk about the three modes, but we should know what they influence and how do we identify that influence based on, basically we are going to see from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam only. Okay, this is very important to understand what Diti is practicing. So, So this is, in order to save time, I have directly, rather than doing it here, which will take a lot of time, I have just directly taken the slides from the previous session wherever I did this. So, but still I will mark it so that you get some understanding. Of course, it's already marked and quite shabby. Already you may find it very difficult to relate to what it is, but I will try my best to explain to you and then we will elaborate on this. So the three modes, you all know, mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. There are three things which the modes can affect. Okay. The modes can affect the pure Shastric faith of a person. A person whose faith is grounded in the scriptures. The three modes can affect that faith. Okay. Or the three modes can also affect the faith of a person who has no faith in Shastras. But all the faith and conviction that he has is only based on his experience. He has only experiential faith. which is called as Laukiki Shraddha or sentimental faith, or it is also called as Swabhavajam Shraddha, a faith which is born out of his Swabhava. Okay. Or the three modes can directly affect the Swabhava of a sadhaka. So Swabhava here refers to the conditioned nature. Okay. So the three modes can affect the three different things, and it has different effects. You know, you can see the effects in a different way. So what is the symptom of pure devotional faith? Just hear it carefully here, and I will be supporting this with scriptural proofs very soon. Okay. So pure Shastric faith means where one asks the right questions to the scriptures. Okay. So what are the right questions? Okay. So the right questions is whom to worship. Okay. And why to worship. And how to worship. Okay. So if one is willing to ask all these three questions to the scriptures, the Vedic scriptures, then one possesses pure Shastric faith. Okay. So how do you identify such a person? Okay. So when you ask the question, whom to worship, the Shastras are very clear. The Shastras say Vishnu. Okay. And when you ask the Shastras why to worship, the Shastras will say to establish a relationship with Krishna in one of the five rasas. Okay. Or Krishna Prema. And how to worship? The Shastras will say Navada Bhakti. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasam Sukhyamatmani Vedanam. So if one is willing to ask all these three questions to the scriptures, such a person is said to have pure Shastric faith. Okay. So which means the one who has pure Shastric faith will practice pure devotional service. Because whom he will worship? He will worship Vishnu or Krishna. Why he will worship? To establish a relationship with Krishna or Krishna Prema. And how he will worship? By practice of Navada Bhakti. This is essentially Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam Bhakti Ruttama. Where Anyabhilashita Shunyam indicates the purity of the goal. Okay. The goal is pure, which is beyond three modes, because it has no other desire other than the desire to please Krishna. And Jnana Karmadi Anavritam, being uncovered by Jnana Karma, etc., indicates that the means to attain this goal is also beyond three modes. So this indicates that the goal is pure and the means is pure. Okay. So this is actually when the Shastric faith is pure. But often the Shastric faith is not so pure. Okay. Why? Because people may ask the first question, whom to worship? But they may be unwilling to ask why to worship, how to worship. Okay. Or they may not ask why to worship, at least. They already have their goals. So they think that I want to become very famous. Let me worship Vishnu for becoming very famous. They already asked the scriptures, whom should I worship for this? Scriptures say Vishnu. So when the pure Shastric faith is contaminated by the three modes, it can manifest in two ways. One is either the goal becomes impure, or the means become impure, or both the goals and means both become impure. Okay. So, but ultimately, why do we call it Shastric faith then? Because they worship Vishnu. which is according to the scriptures. So if someone is willing to ask the scriptures whom to worship, then such a person is said to have Shastric faith. Who is the object of worship? If the object of worship is clear, then that person can be accepted to have a faith which is rooted in Shastras. Okay. So such a person, so that pure Shastric faith, what happens if it gets contaminated by Sattva, Rajas or Tamas? If it gets contaminated by Sattva, Rajas or Tamas, either the goal changes or the means to attain that goal, that also changes. And in this case, then such practices are no longer called as pure devotional service. They are called as either Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti, or Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. All these types of yogas, they have a goal which is contaminated, which is either Swarga, liberation, etc. Even liberation, liberation is transcendental, but the means to attain that liberation, that is Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, they are actually within 3 months. They are in Sattva Guna, right? So therefore, when the 3 modes affect the Shastric faith, then one embraces paths which is, you know, mixed devotional service. So here in Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 29th chapter, Kapiladev speaks about mixed devotional service. He talks about Tamasic Bhakti, Rajasic Bhakti and Sattvic Bhakti. So he says, Abhisandaya yohimsam dambam matsarya mevava samrambi binnadrik bhavam mayi kuryat satamasaha. So he says, the angry person, samrambi, which is Diti, she is certainly angry on Indra, devoid of compassion, binnadrik. Binnadrik means she has an intention which is different from the ideal intention. That is called as binnadrik. So here that binnadrik refers to lack of compassion, because ideally a pure practicing devotee should feel compassionate. Ishware tadadineshu balisheshu vishastucha prema maitri kripa upeksha yakkaroti sa madhyama. So a madhyamadhikari is supposed to feel compassionate towards people who are less fortunate. So ideally, she must have been compassionate, but she is not feeling that compassion. So that is what is indicated here as binnadrik. She has binnadrishti. But yaha mayi bhavam kuryat. But even a tamasic bhakta worships Vishnu only. If his pure Shastric faith is contaminated by tamas, it does not change the object of worship. But why does he worship the Lord? Abhisandaya. The word abhisandaya means with intentions. With intentions means this is his goal. Okay. What is his goal? Violence, pride, hatred. She wants to kill Indra. This is violence. She has hatred towards Indra. With this mood, she's not just having this mood when she is worshipping the Supreme Lord. She wants to accomplish this violence through her worship of the Supreme Lord. So this is Tamasic Bhakti, and this is what Diti is practicing. Okay. So even though her object of worship has not changed, her object of worship is the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. But her goal and the means are contaminated by Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So this is actually mixed devotional service. So Diti is the classic example for this. Okay. And then there is Rajasic worship. I will quickly go over it. Here Kapiladev says, He who worships me in the form of deities and others with the desire for other objects. And desire for other objects is in the form of goals. So what is his goal of worshipping the Lord? Fame, material gain, wealth, etc. So such a person is, his Shastric faith has been contaminated by the mode of passion. And if the Shastric faith is contaminated by the mode of goodness, then he worships the Supreme Lord with a desire to destroy karma. Karma nirhara muddishya. So he wants to destroy his karma and escape this material world and attain liberation. Okay, that is his goal. And for that purpose, he makes his works as an offering to the Supreme Lord. So this is, so this is actually Sattvic Bhakti. So when the, as we saw here, when the pure Shastric faith is contaminated by Sattva, one's goal becomes liberation. When it is contaminated by Rajas, one's goal becomes fame, wealth, etc. And if it is contaminated by Tamas, the goal becomes violence, etc. Okay. But nevertheless, it is still considered Shastric faith because they worship Vishnu. They are willing to ask the first and the foremost question to the Shastras. Who is fit to be worshipped? Okay. Now, the three modes can also contaminate one's conditioned nature. So when the three modes, when Sattva Guna conditions affects the conditioning of a person, what it leads to development of certain inclinations and qualities, you know, cleanliness, regularity, clarity, these are all the result of the influence of mode of goodness. Greed, lust, etc., influence of mode of passion. Lethargy, sleep, etc., this is all due to influence of mode of ignorance. So in this way, one's swabhava or one's conditioned nature can also be contaminated by the three modes. So if the swabhava is contaminated by the three modes, it leads to particular type of stimulus response. Stimulus response. I hope you understand what is stimulus response. You know, for example, a person, as soon as, if he is influenced by the mode of passion, as soon as he sees, something very spicy, you know, immediately his tongue starts salivating. Okay. So this is actually, you can say, his conditioned nature is influenced by the mode of passion. Okay. Or, if an opposite sex passes by, he or she may immediately turn their head if he or she is very attractive. That is also due to one's conditioned nature being influenced by mode of passion. So this stimulus response is influenced by the three modes. That also is possible. Okay. So this is also indicated in Bhagavad Gita, in the 14th chapter and the other chapters. So Krishna says, Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayam sukha sangena badnati jnana sangena chanaga. The mode of sattva is peaceful and gives knowledge. So clarity is a symptom of mode of goodness. Okay. Purity is a symptom of mode of goodness. Okay. And a person feels very happy, knowledgeable, and he feels quite satisfied. Satisfaction is also. So when one's conditioned nature is influenced by mode of goodness, you can see its influence by these symptoms, by this kind of stimulus response. Okay. And what is the nature of Rajas? Rajo ragatmakam viddi trishna sanga samudbhavam tan nibadnati kaunteya karma sangena dehinam. Okay. What is the nature of rajas? Ragatmakam. Raga here specifically refers to mutual attraction between men and women. When there is a strong attraction that he or she feels towards the opposite sex, that is due to the influence of mode of passion. Okay. And Trishna Sanga Samudbhavam. Trishna means thirst. When that desirable object is not attainable, there is a deep thirst or longing for attaining it. And after attaining it, one develops deep attachment to it. So this is all, one cannot give that up. That aspect of the conditioned nature is actually due to Rajogun. So this is how, when Rajogun influences one's conditioned nature, this is how it, you know, the stimulus response happens. Okay. And similarly, Tamogun causes, actually Tamogun is opposed to both Sattvaguna and Rajoguna. Sattvaguna is characterized by clarity and knowledge, whereas Tamoguna is characterized by lack of clarity, you know, very hazy intelligence. Or sometimes even contrary intelligence. What is right, it will seem like wrong. What is wrong will seem like right. So this is the symptom of Tamogun. And also it is opposed to Rajogun. Rajogun is characterized by constant activity because one is consumed by thirst to attain the unattainable, and the attachment to retain what has already been attained. So therefore, such people are constantly active to attain something. Okay. So that is actually the influence of Rajogun. But exact opposite is Tamogun, which is inactivity. The person is completely inactive, lethargic. Okay. So this is how, if you see, the three modes affect the swabhava or the stimulus response system of a person. Okay. Now, there could be some people who may not have any faith which is grounded in Shastras. Their faith may be purely experiential faith. So such people may not necessarily, so they will not ask the Shastras whom to worship. Okay. If someone does not ask this question, then his faith, even though he may be following some Shastras, his faith is not supposed to be grounded in Shastras. Okay. So such people, they will not ask the scriptures whom to worship, because if that question is asked to the scriptures, the categorical answer of the scriptures is Vishnu or Krishna. But they will not ask this question. They have already decided, they are already inclined to worship particular personalities based on their influence of, because the three modes have influenced their experience. So if mode of goodness, I'm not going to go into great detail discussing this aspect. Okay, anyways, so here when we are speaking about swabhava influencing, the influence of mode of passion. So the mode of ignorance can come in the form of sleep. So for sadhakas, when they feel sleepy or lethargic towards during their sadhana, that is due to mode of ignorance. Or vikshepa, distraction, it is due to mode of passion. Apratipatti, indifference or lack of interest in spiritual topics, can be either due to mode of ignorance or mode of passion. Okay. Kashaya, tendency towards bad habits. Depending on the nature of the bad habits, it could also be due to mode of ignorance or mode of passion. And rasaswada, taste for material enjoyment, can also be, depending on what kind of material enjoyment, it can be mode of ignorance or mode of passion. Or it could even be mode of goodness, you know, which may not be connected to Krishna. So in this way, modes can influence modes can influence one's conditioned nature, and then we saw modes can influence one's faith, which is sentimental faith or experiential faith. Okay, so I will not go over the full explanation. So Krishna, so okay, anyways, I will just touch on this topic. In the 16th chapter, in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, okay, let me write this. This is the, in the 16th chapter, Krishna speaks about divine and demoniac qualities. Okay. So, talking about divine and demoniac qualities, Krishna gives three levels of understanding what is divine, what is demoniac. Divine is, okay, first thing he says is, abhayam sattva samshuddhi jnana yoga vyavasthitihi danam damascha yajnascha svadhyayastapa arjavam. He speaks in terms of divine and demoniac in terms of qualities. Fearlessness, purity, etc. is divine quality. Pride, arrogance, harsh speech, etc. It's all demoniac qualities. So when he presents this kind of an explanation, Arjuna feels little concerned. Arjuna starts thinking, maybe I am demoniac. Maybe I am demoniac because often I find myself possessing these demoniac qualities. I catch myself proud sometimes. I catch myself speaking harshly. So maybe I am demoniac. Then Krishna then says, okay, this is not the conclusive difference between divine and demoniac qualities. Then he goes to, actually, there is a more deep-rooted symptom of divine and demoniac, that is worldview. Worldview, you know. So how do they look at this world? Where is their faith? Okay. So he says that, nasatyam napichacharo. Sorry, what is that verse? Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahuranishwaram aparasparaka sambhutam kimanyat kamahaitukam. So they say that there is no God, and the cause of this world is only mutual attraction. So they have atheistic ideologies. Okay. They have atheistic ideologies. Whereas, even though there may be people who may show demoniac qualities, but they may be struggling to overcome those demoniac qualities, but their faith may not be rooted in atheistic ideologies. Okay. There are a series of verses that he talks about. Can someone help me recollect some verses from that section? One thing he says is, kimanyat kama haitukam, like that. And then he says that, konyosti sadrushomaya, yakshe dasyami modishya, iti agyana vimohitaha, like that he says. You know, there is no one greater than me. I have defeated everyone. All my enemies are dead. And whatever remaining enemies are there, I will kill them. And I am the most powerful. Like that, you know, his understanding is rooted in this kind of atheistic ideologies. There is no God, like that. But then he gives a much more deeper understanding of divine and demoniac. The third level understanding he presents in the last two verses of 16th chapter. He says, yas shastra vidim utsrijya vartate kamakaratah nasasiddhim avapnoti nasukam naparamgatim. So he defines divine and demoniac on the basis of pramana. So the divine accept Shastras as the Pramana, whereas the demoniac do not accept Shastras as the Pramana. This is the deep-rooted, this is the conclusive understanding of the difference between divine and demoniac. So wrong Pramana leads to wrong worldview, and wrong worldview leads to nourishment of unfavorable qualities. Okay. But someone may be coming from the wrong worldview, but moving towards the divine worldview, and because of accepting the Pramana. So what happens, even though he has accepted the Shastric Pramana and his worldview has changed to a more theistic worldview, but still the qualities that he had accumulated due to his prior atheistic worldview and prior non-practice of this Pramana will lead to, it will take some time. There will be the, you can say, the inertia of the unfavorable qualities will still remain for a while. And this stage is called as Anartha Nivritti. So where demoniac qualities are seen, even though there is acceptance of Shastric Pramana and also acceptance of a theistic worldview. Okay. So in this way, he describes. Okay. And then, so he says, yes, Shastra Vidhim Utsrijya Vartate Kama Karata. So this is the defining characteristic of a demon. He rejects the scriptures and acts according to his own whims and fancies. Such a person, he says, Nasa Siddhim Avapnoti Nasukam Na Parambatim. He does not attain any perfection, no happiness, no goal. Okay. And therefore, he ends this chapter by telling, Tasmat Shastram Pramanam Te Karya Karya Vyavasthitau. Gyatva Shastra Vidanoktam Karma Kartumiha Arhasi. Therefore, one should consider Shastra as the ultimate Pramana in order to decide what is to be done and what is not to be done. So one who accepts Shastra as the Pramana to guide himself, what to do, what not to do, he is divine. And one who rejects the Shastras, he is demoniac. Okay. So Arjuna, in the beginning of the 17th chapter, he says, this seems like a very extreme presentation. Is it that in this world, everyone can be divided into divine and demoniac? Are they any, is there a possibility of anyone being in between? This question arises. Can someone? So he says, Arjuna presents a very unique question. He says, Ye Shastra Vidhim Utsrijya Yajante Shraddayan Vitaha Tesham Nishta Tuka Krishna Sattvamaho Rajastama. So he says, O Krishna, you defined divine as those who accept the Shastras and worship according to the Shastra. And you described the demoniac as those who reject the Shastras and act whimsically. But Arjuna says, I have seen a third category of people. They don't follow the Shastras. They may reject the Shastras, but in them, they seem to be worshipping with some faith. They don't seem to be acting whimsically. They seem to be acting with some faith. Who are these people? Are they divine? Are they demoniac? So that is why in the 17th chapter, you will see, you know, worship is accomplished. What are the various aspects of worship? Worship should have faith. Worship should have austerity. Worship should have, okay, some yajna, performance of yajna. Okay. So these various things. So therefore Krishna talks about, you know, faith in mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, austerity in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, yajna in the influence by mode of passion, goodness and ignorance. So Arjuna has who are these kinds of people who may not follow the Shastras, but they seem to not act whimsically like the Asuras, but they seem to be worshipping the worshipping with some faith, with some faith. Who are they? So Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan commenting on this, he says, responding to the questions of Arjuna, Krishna explains various items in Sattva, Rajas and Tamas in the 17th chapter. So those who study the Vedas with faith in the scriptures undertake activities according to its rules are called as Devatas. So who are the Devatas? They study the Vedas with faith in the Vedas and undertake activities according to its rules. They are Devatas. And those who ignore the Vedas act as they please. Kamakaratah. Without following the Vedic rules are called demons or asuras. This he has mentioned in the previous verse. Now, this is my question. Those who, having read and understood the Vedas, which are difficult to understand, if they give up the rules out of laziness or other reasons and worship the devatas and others with faith born out of local custom, what is their position? Local custom is laukiki, sentimental faith. Okay. Are they considered among the godly or demoniac types? So how do they, how would you define them? So Krishna says, Trivida bhavati shraddha dehinam sa swabhavaja sattviki rajasi chaiva tamasi cheti tam shruno. He says dehinam shraddha, the faith of the embodied beings, trivida bhavati, it is of three types. And what is this kind of faith? This is not Shastriya faith. This is Swabhavaja. Swabhavaja means arising from their previous impressions. So arising from their previous impressions, there are three types of faith, which is Satviki, Rajasi, Tamasi. So this is called as Satviki Swabhavajam Shraddha, Rajasi Swabhavajam Shraddha, and Tamasi Swabhavajam Shraddha. So here, Baldev Vidya Bhushan comments, he says, the faith by which one worships the devatas and other beings while giving up the rules of scriptures because of laziness or difficulties should be understood to arise from virtuous and sinful impressions from previous lives. Swabhavaja. So he is not asking the scriptures who should be worshipped. He's not that he rejects the scriptures, but he does not want to ask. So he actually, based on his own family traditions and other such things, he may be inclined to worship the devatas or others. Okay. So that faith is of three types. What type of faith? A faith which is not born out of scriptures, but a faith which is born purely out of impressions, vasana, which is swabhava. Swabhavajam means born out of one's swabhava. So that is of three types. Okay. So he says, they do not have the spiritual intelligence arising from scriptures taught by the devotees, which will allow them to change those impressions or swabhava, which means they do not have Shastric faith. Okay. Therefore, the three types of faith which arise from those impressions appear. But faith born from the scriptures is different. So we saw faith born from the scriptures. We already saw in that is characterized by worship of Vishnu. Worship of Vishnu. Okay. So one may worship for various reasons. One may worship for liberation. One may worship for fame or wealth. One may worship for violence. Then it becomes Sattva, Rajas and Tamasic Bhakti. Or one may worship for establishing a relationship with Krishna in one of the five rasas, then it becomes pure devotional service, pure devotional faith, and pure Shastric faith. Okay. But here, So here he says that such people they worship they worship, but faith born from the scriptures is different. It brings about performance of actions only according to the scriptural directions, not because of impressions of the gunas. So he says, anyways, I will skip some of the verses, even though they are important. So he says, Yajante Sattvika Devan. So those whose faith is Sattvik Swabhavajam Shraddha, or Sattvik non-scriptural sentimental faith, when one possesses that, they are most likely inclined to worship the devatas, which means demigod worship. A demigod worshipper, even though he may be referring to some scriptures to worship the demigods, but because he does not ask the foundational question of whom to worship, because he's not asking that question to the scriptures, therefore his faith is not considered to be grounded in scriptures. So he says, so he may go and ask the Shastras, how do I worship Lord Shiva? The scriptures say, okay, this is how you worship. And he may follow those procedures also. Or someone may, who is influenced by Rajogun or Rajasic nature, he may worship the Yakshas, Rakshasas and such beings, okay, similar beings. Or those who are influenced by Tamoguna, they may worship the Pretas, Bhutaganas, you know, these kind of ghosts, hobgoblins like that. You know, those kind of people whose sentimental faith, you know, if you see, if you go to the village side of any part of India, you will see, you know, these kind of practices. Very, very prevalent in any part of India. Okay. So the results of worshipping with different faiths are described in this verse. Those persons with faith born of their previous impressions. Again, this is very clearly mentioned. This worship, desire to worship the demigods is not born out of scriptures. Scriptures may, you can say, make that faith firm by glorifying the demigods. But the desire to worship the demigods is not born out of scriptures. Okay. So those persons who with faith born of their previous impressions worship Sattvic Devas such as Vasu and Rudra without the discrimination of the scriptures are called as Sattvika. And those, why there is lack of discrimination? Because they are not asking the scriptures whom to worship. They have already decided whom to worship. Okay. And such people, and those with mode of passion inclinations, they may worship the Yakshas, Rakshasas, Kuvera, Nairuti, and other such personalities. They are in mode of passion. And those who worship tamasic entities such as Pretas and Bhutas are in the mode of ignorance. Okay. Thus, the three types of faith arising from differing natures due to previous impressions without following the rules of scriptures because of laziness have been described. It should be understood that by conquering over their natures, how? By association with persons following the Vedic principles. These persons sometimes come under the authority of the Vedas. They may feel influenced. Okay. So this is the way actually when we talk about the three modes influencing. So the three modes can either influence one's Shastric faith or they may influence one's stimulus response system or one's conditioned nature, or they may influence one's sentimental faith. And all of this leads to a different kind of effect. Okay. It may lead to in the case of pure Shastric faith, the influence of the modes will not change the object of worship, but it can change the goal of worship and it can change the means of attaining that goal. Okay. And if the three modes affect the conditioned nature, it leads to manifestation of particular qualities and particular inclinations and stimulus response and response to stimuli. And if they affect the sentimental faith, then it leads to affiliation to particular personalities in the form of worship. Okay. So now you can take in the case of sadhakas like us, you know, we have Shastric faith because we worship Vishnu, and our faith is also pure because our goal is very clearly to establish a relationship with Krishna, and the means that we follow to attain that goal is clearly Navada Bhakti. But having said that, so even though we may have a faith which is beyond three modes, as sadhakas, it's very likely that we may have a swabhava or a conditioned nature which is still under the grips of the three modes. So therefore, we may show qualities like greed, lust, anger, envy, pride, illusion, etc. Okay. So sadhakas are characterized by pure devotional faith, a faith which is grounded in shastras and which is uncontaminated by the three modes. But they may very likely have a conditioned nature which is very much contaminated by the three modes. This is how the... So, in the case of Diti is a classic case of, definitely she has a contaminated swabhava. And the very fact that she is agreeable to worship Vishnu means she has a faith which is shastric. But she is worshipping Lord Vishnu for committing violence. So therefore, the case of Diti is a case of tamasic bhakti. Okay, so this is the first theme that I wanted to discuss. But I guess we have already, you know, almost like 50 minutes have passed. So what I will do is, rather than immediately taking the next theme that I have in mind, I will pause to see if there are any quick discussion points, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask or add. Because let us resolve this, and then if time permits, we may move forward to the next topic that I have in mind. Okay, so devotees who may have some questions, comments, discussion points, you can either raise your hands or maybe you can type your questions in the chat box, whatever you may feel comfortable. Okay, yes, first, Mother Gail.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. The Satvika worshippers, right?
Uh-huh.
Who do not consult the Shastra as to whom to worship.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones are they? The worshippers, they don't consult the Shastra, but they're considered Satvika.
Yeah, they are the worshippers of demigods.
Oh. Okay. And we consider them Satvika, why?
Because generally, those who are influenced by Satvik impressions, just like we have a particular inclination for particular kind of food, if we are influenced by mode of goodness, passion or ignorance. Similarly, when it comes to worshipping particular personalities also, one can get inspiration to worship particular personalities because of the influence of the modes. So generally, people who are predominantly in Sattva Guna, you know, those personalities will get attracted to other personalities who are similarly in Sattva Guna, and they may wish to worship them. Whereas those in passion, yeah.
So the reason why it's a little confusing for me is because those who worship demigods, obviously they want some material benefit, which sounds like passion. So yeah. I
Yeah, so actually, if you see, this just indicates predominance. Actually, there is no complete passion, goodness, you know, very pure passion, goodness or ignorance. It's always a mixture. So, so it's like that. So goodness means they may have a slightly more predominance of goodness. That's all. But otherwise, there may definitely be passion existing in them.
Okay. I was thinking that the predominance would have been passion, but I guess not. Okay. Also. Okay. Also, the Laukika worshippers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those who have sentimental faith.
Mm-hmm.
They don't consult the Shastra for mm-hmm. their worship, but like Arjuna was saying, they do worship something, you know. So those people do they come under the category of demoniac or devata?
They are neither demoniac nor divine, but they have potential to move in either direction.
Oh, okay.
Depending on proper depending on the association.
Okay, last thing, you know, in the beginning of the class, you were saying that those whose goal is liberation, you know, that transcendental goal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you say that it can be achieved through the mode of goodness?
Yeah.
Because, you know, How can a transcendental goal be achieved by working in the modes?
Good question. Okay. So now, when we say liberation is transcendental, but the desire for liberation, that desire is not transcendental. What exactly is desire for liberation? Desire for liberation means I don't want to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't want to suffer is the other side of I don't want to enjoy. I want to enjoy.
Yes.
Right. So that desire in itself is within three modes only. Mm. So now the only way you can escape enjoyment is go to a transcendental realm, which is beyond three modes, which happens to be liberation. But that desire itself is within three modes. So therefore, and eventually, in order to attain that liberation, they may practice either Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. But while practicing it, eventually they have to give up those elements of Jnana, Ashtanga, Karma, etc., which are within three modes. And they have to retain that element of Bhakti, which is beyond three modes. So that is how they attain a transcendental destination.
So you said that the way they do it is by, which one they have to retain? They have to retain what again?
The practice of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, they have the elements of Bhakti also. So they retain the Bhakti element, but eventually they have to give up the limbs of Karma, Jnana, Yoga, which are within three modes, they have to give that up.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Okay. So, next is Sukakar Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Danda Pranam Prabhu. Prabhu, these three modes are coming with a punishment. We were all envious of Krishna and we have come to the world, so is it a punishment that Krishna has put along with a body? Take the three modes, then you pass the test and come back. Is that is the way you have to understand the three modes?
No. The three modes are the means to create a virtual reality with lot of varieties for people who have decided to enjoy separately from Krishna. So there is transcendental variety in the spiritual world, which is meant for those who wish to enjoy by serving Krishna. But for those who wish to enjoy separately from Krishna, Krishna does not want them, Krishna does not want them to want their enjoyment to be bereft of variety. So in order to create that variety, he has created the three modes so that people based on their experience can develop variegated desires which can be fulfilled through the intervention of the three modes.
But Krishna has done just to, so we get a chance to enjoy, but it is really, even devotees are very much affected because of the three modes, because you do something and suddenly something happens and it becomes beyond control. So to get out of the three modes, the only way is to chant incessantly 24/7 so that we are not getting affected. What is the best way to pibata Bhagavatam Rasmala, we are reading Bhagavatam, attending class, but still in between the three modes also are working with us. How to get out of the three modes?
By practicing bhakti only, and gradually it will go away. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobha dayasche chete tairana viddam sthitam satve prasidati. So it is gradual.
Anya bilasya sune, we are knowing, reading, but it is not coming. Somewhere there is getting stuck, slipped out, you know.
No. Where is anya bilashita shunyam missing in our practice?
Not missing. What I am telling is we should not have any desire. We should not be theoretically know everything, that we are not the body, we are the soul, the family are just, we are just instrumental just to go back home. We have to somehow maintain them because they are part of our life. But those things are not coming in the real sense. Sometimes we get attached also. My son, my daughter, all these things.
Yeah. So, but do you have a desire to at least in future progress and overcome it or not?
100%. That this is what life itself.
That is the meaning of Anya Bilashita Shunya.
Because Prabhupada, in one lecture I heard, he said it is very difficult to go back home, back to Godhead. 80% of the devotees who are practicing, they go to Swargaloka. When I heard this, I was really stuck, you know, then when I asked one of the, I think one Maharaj I asked, he said, Prabhupada has told to make us more cautious. And why? Because even if you are doing good services, if somewhere some small thought of to enjoy is there, to make us do that, put it in Swargaloka. But Swargaloka means 12,000 years with Ramba, Tulyottama, Urvashi, then we are given.
There is once Prabhupada has mentioned, but I don't recollect his using the 80% thing. Maybe you can get the reference, but I don't really think so. It's not that if one material desire you have, you will be sent to Swarga. It is not like that. It is not at all like that. If you have one material desire which you identify as an anartha, then gradually by practice of bhakti, that anartha will be subdued, and from anartha nivritti one will go to the stage of nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema, and then go back to the spiritual world. So now that transition from one stage to another stage may not necessarily happen in one life. It may happen in two lives or sometimes three lives. That is possible. But that does not mean that just because
we want in one life, but we want, because I don't want to just again come back and again suffer somehow. Because Prabhupada told that Jayananda Prabhu, no, he's such a great devotee who the Rath Yatra, he got a cancer. He gave all his money to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that he has gone to Swargaloka. Then he has gone to Swargaloka, means
No. Prabhupada didn't say that. If you can read that letter once more. Prabhupada said, if you had material desires, He gives that as a possibility. He does not say Jayananda Prabhu has gone back to Swarga. You can read that letter once more. That's not what he says.
Because that really made me chatter all my things. Oh, that means I'll go to Swargaloka and I don't want to go to Swargaloka. I was crying, you know. this Swargaloka is something, it is the most dangerous thing. We can come back to the material, but not to Swargaloka.
If you don't want, you will not go there, bro.
Yeah. We all should somehow pass the example in this life. That's what my desire, all Bhakti Sangha, we are all doing, so trying our best, that Antakale Chavameva, that should come. Please pray for me and bless me, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Madhuri Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranams. Dandavat Pranams to all the simple devotees. Prabhuji, my question is on the, I was listening to one of the lectures of Prabhupada, and it was regarding the ladies who were standing on the roof when Krishna was leaving Dwaraka from Hastinapur. So they were standing and they were talking about Krishna. So, and Prabhupada mentioned that their sweet talks are more valuable or like important than Vedic hymns. So in which category that they fall, Prabhuji, like that ladies? Because they don't have Vedic knowledge. That's what I understand, like gopis. But they have...
No, they were... it is mentioned that Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in commenting on that particular verse, it is mentioned that time and again, great personalities like Vyasadev used to come to Hastinapur, and they used to give pravachans and talks, and casually these ladies used to listen to that, and by that they developed faith. So it is not that they did not know Shastras. They understood the essence of the Shastras because of good association. That is a point that is mentioned in this regard. So their faith in Krishna or their attachment to Krishna was not sentimental.
Okay. So, I mean, there is also like in that purport, it was like Shruti Manoharam. So by
Sarva Shruti Manoharam.
Sarva Shruti Manoharam. So by hearing the Veda knowledge or the scripture knowledge from their like Vyasadev, and they develop the consciousness, right, Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the gopis fall.
Oh, I'm sorry. I muted you by mistake. I thought you were done with your question. I will unmute you again. Yes.
Yeah, so the question was like gopis falls under which category, Prabhuji? Like both are in the same?
Gopis are perfected devotees. They are Nitya Siddhas.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Right. Okay, there is one question in the chat box. In South Indian families, we see Lord Balaji worshipped as the family tradition. To which category of faith they fall in? I thought, good you brought this question. I thought someone would ask, can someone worship Krishna due to sentimental faith? You know, not according to someone may worship the demigods according to particular inclinations. Can someone worship Krishna or Vishnu according to sentimental faith? Yes, this is possible. This is what in Bhagavatam we see. Archayam eva haraye pujam yashraddaye hate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabakta prakrita smritaha. So that person is called as a prakrita bhakta. So prakrita bhakta means his faith is material. It is not based on scriptures. So what is the symptom of a person who may worship Krishna with sentimental faith? So such a person, you will see that he will not have any special regard for the devotees. He may not have any special regard for the devotees. So he may give respect to the devotees, but he may give the same kind of respect that he would give anyone else. If he is in general disrespectful towards everyone, he may be disrespectful towards the devotees also. If he is in general very respectful towards everyone, he may be very respectful towards the devotees also. But that unwillingness to put devotees on at least a slightly higher pedestal, because he does not, that indicates that attraction to worship the deity forms of Lord Vishnu is born out of a sentimental faith. But still, those who may worship Vishnu based on sentimental faith, they are still better than those who get attracted to the other forms of the Lord and worship them out of sentimental faith. Like that. Okay. There is another question. Hastinapur ladies, are they also not Nitya Siddhas? I am not very sure if it is mentioned that way. I won't rule out that possibilities. But I don't remember reading it that way. Maybe some other acharyas have mentioned. I do not know. As far as I understand, probably they were not. Or maybe some of them could have been also. I do not know. Okay. Any other questions, comments, discussion points? Okay. If there is none, then we will pause here, and maybe the next part, which I had decided, maybe we will take in some other session. Yes, there is one hand up. Sukha Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranams. Thank you for the eye-opening class, Prabhuji. I just wanted to thank you immensely as to how you really put the concepts and everything in place so nicely, Prabhu. And please give us your association more often, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. It's been so long we didn't hear from you. So please do give us your association.
Yeah, I've been quite tied up with some travels and other commitments. So it's become a little difficult. Yeah, but I'll try my best whenever possible.
Also in the Bhagavatam summary sessions, if you can give us. It will be great, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji, I'll try.
Thank you so much again. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Prabhu, whatever you have written, can you send it, Prabhu, along with, can you, because this is a very good, many points I could not note. Whatever you have scribbled,
yeah. Will you,
because
all these notes, after my class, I always share, Prabhu. It will be there. Thank you, Prabhu. It will be there in the Bhakti Sangha group.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kalpatarubhyo vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo
namah.
Jai Srila.
Jai.
Jai. His grace Balram Shakti Prabhuji ki jai.
Thank
you, Prabhuji. After a long
Gauranga,
time.
Gauranga.
Gauranga.
Nityananda. Nityananda. Gauranga. Radhe Radhe. Jai Jai Shri. Radhe Shyam. Sabko mere Vrindavan Dham.
Radhe Radhe. Ask Prabhuji and please give your association more often. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Please, Hare Krishna, please, Prabhuji.
Thank you, dear devotees, for joining. We close.